It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's Will Cain. I'm off this week, but I wanted to share with you one of my favorite interviews so far from the launch of The Will Cain Show, which streams live at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com, the Fox News YouTube channel, the Fox News Facebook page. And you can always get it on demand if you want to listen at your leisure on Apple or Spotify, or watch when you're sitting at your desk at work or at home by subscribing to Will Cain Show on YouTube. I loved talking to Tony Robbins. He has a new book out called The Holy Grail of Investing. We talked about investing, how to get rich. We also talked about how to live a rich life. He is a font of wisdom in a world full of information and a priority set that all too often we place intelligence at the top. We need to learn to distinguish between intelligence and wisdom. I think this interview is full of wisdom with Tony Robbins.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
You were talking about, and you said specifically, hey, I'm not necessarily someone who believes in positive thinking. I believe in intelligence, I think was the line that you gave him. But as an illustration of the power of perception, of not subjective reality, but how you take in objective reality, you told him to close his eyes and look at everything in the room that's brown. And then you brought in everything in the room that's red. And there was something about that, and maybe you can share that with us here today, Tony, that just made me realize, like, it's how you internalize objective reality that creates your own reality.
What I try to tell people is we don't experience life. We experience the life we focus on. So what's wrong is always available, so is what's right. But I'm not in just being positive. I believe you got to see things as they are, but not worse than it is. Most people today make it worse than it is. There are people, young people today, that have been sold this idea that in 12 years the world's going to end because of climate change, which we all know is bullshit. But when you hear it over and over and over again, now people are not having children because of it. So I think you got to see it is, not worse than it is, because when we make it worse than it is, people do that because they're afraid of getting their hopes up and being disappointed. But then if you're a leader, you got to see it better than it is. You know, in the Bible, it says without a vision, people perish. You know, it's good advice. You have to have a vision beyond the now. And then you have to make it the way you see it, which requires strategy, not just positive thinking and enthusiasm. If you're running east looking for a sunset, I don't care how positive you are, it's not going to work. You got the wrong strategy. So with Theo, though, it was interesting because he's such a funny and beautiful young man. And I felt like it was like my son there because, you know, he's got a lot of pain in him. A lot of comedians do. Not all of them, but many do. And I found myself doing kind of a little mini intervention on him. And what was amazing is people sent me responses, you know, on YouTube, which can be mixed, obviously. And there were so many young men that feel like he do, that feel like they're not enough, that feel like they don't have a place in the world, that feel like, you know, if they get too happy, they're afraid things are going to fall apart. And so it was really interesting for me to see how many people were touched by that conversation who were his followers, which are primarily young men, as you know.
And there was something about that particular, and look, Tony, you know, I sat and thought about our conversation today, I thought, like, what's new under the sun for Tony to talk about? Like, there's not a pitch in my arsenal I can throw him that's going to get by. It's not a pitch he hasn't seen. He's got every curveball, every knuckleball. He's seen every pitch. He knows what he's going to say. But what was it? There was something about that illustration you gave to Theo. Would you, for my audience, for this audience?
Sure.
And I know it doesn't take long, but what is that about how we see things in a room?
Well, it's not so much a room. I was just giving an example. I said, you could do it right now, your viewers or listeners. If you look around the room you're in right now and look for brown, look for everything that's brown, brown clothing, brown hair, brown people, brown anything. Look behind you, look around you, look above you, and then close your eyes. And then tell me everything you saw in the room that was red. And usually there's a little laugh when I do this in public market, you know, 10, 15,000 people. And I'll say, open your eyes now, look for red, look for red. Okay, how many found, you know, more red this time? Everybody raises their hand. Well, why? Because seeking you shall find. You will find things even if they're not there, I'll tell people. And they look confused. And I'll say, how many saw beige things, called them brown, just to feel successful? How many saw something burgundy, yeah, called it red? So whatever your brain is looking for, you will find. Whatever you believe, so is it done unto you. You quote some terms you and I would both relate to as Christians. But the bottom line is, it's true. Once you believe something, you find evidence to support it. You'll convert. If you think somebody's a bad person, you'll color them from, you know, brown to, you'll take the beige and make it brown. If you think somebody's a good person, you'll turn it around. Like, look, for example, if your best friend treats you really terribly one day, you know, you will feel sad or angry or hurt. And if you can't resolve it, you have to go to a phone call or you got to go to a meeting. You'll usually rationalize their behavior, right? You'll usually say, well, they're probably having a bad day. But if you go to somebody who you think is, you know, a mean, manipulating person, it may not be true, but it's what you believe about them. And they don't treat you badly. They treat you real nice. What's the first question in your mind? What do they want? So our relationships, our life is controlled by our beliefs. Our beliefs color what we see and don't see, what we experience and don't see. So it's really important to question our beliefs at times, to not just accept what you've been trained to believe, because our culture, we have a perfect example, is finance. So many people in this country, young people, think we have a terrible country. Well, I was in the Soviet Union when I was 23 years old. I was brought over there because of what I was doing at the time. I traveled the whole country. It made me a capitalist. I didn't know what a capital was before that. But everybody's supposed to be equal. And there was no equality. I was on these trains going from literally Moscow to Siberia with all these high-end people. Everybody's supposed to be equal. And they're having caviar. And we'd stop in every little train station, get out in the city, and there would literally be half a mile, quarter of a mile of people wrapped around these buildings so they could get in line for a quart of milk and a half a loaf of bread. And so it's like, I came back and said, you got to become, if you live in a free enterprise country, you got to do it. So most people in this country who hate this country or want the government to pay for everything, which of course it can't, it's already broke, they don't understand the opportunity. Their problem is they've been trained to be a consumer instead of an owner. I was trying to explain this the other day to a young person, and I said, do you have an iPhone? And do you have an iPhone? Well,
of course.
Yeah. So most people have one. I said, okay, so you have an iPhone. Have you bought several iPhones? I said, yeah. I said, well, I've been around enough. I bought every iPhone. So if you bought every iPhone since the first one in 2007, you've spent $20,600. That's the amount you've put out of pocket over that time period. Now, if you bought the stock, hear me now, you took the same amount of money you spent at that time for the iPhone, and I went back and made a chart so people could see it, and bought the stock, today all that adds up to $206 million. So it's like,
no, you know,
yes, that's the real number. That's the real number. So we just don't teach people. We don't teach people to question their limiting beliefs, and we don't teach them beliefs that empower them. So what if you believe, you find evidence for it? How else can you explain all these young people who are pro-Hamas, not pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas? They say, you know, words are destructive. Words are violence. I mean, you know, talked to Chris Rock, and he said, words aren't violence. I think words are violence. No one has slapped the shit out of you on national television, right? So it's like, so, but, you know, those same people, someone is cutting somebody's head off. I mean, I hate for any side, Palestinian or Israeli, to be injured or hurt. I mean, to me, it's horrific. But, you know, we have these interesting beliefs that we develop because we develop a, you know, an ideology, and it limits us. And what I try to do is get people to say, I don't tell people what to believe. I get them to question anything that's limiting themselves and perhaps see if there's a more expanded perception. And I think that's what's missing in our country. We don't have much of a middle right now. We have extremes on both sides. And I think most Americans are in the middle, but they don't have the voice. They don't speak it up. I'm hoping that'll change over the next few years.
Hey, Tony, do you feel like you're swimming against the current when you sell people this idea or help them understand the idea that that there's a way to see the world through a different lens? And that lens tends to be more positive. What I'm wondering about is, are we inherently culturally, or maybe even as human beings, attracted to negativity? You brought up climate change a moment ago, and young people attracted to this idea that's a dystopian apocalyptic future. One of my favorite authors is Matt Ridley, and he talks about, like, hey, reality is the world has gotten better over a broad timeline. That's your right. Life has gotten better, poverty has gotten down, your health has gotten better. But what sells in the news, and then what sells in a worldview, is negative. And it makes you wonder, like, are we not naturally or culturally attracted to this apocalyptic future? And you, for example, then, are swimming against the tide, swimming against the current, to tell people, no, that's not actually an inevitability.
You're absolutely very astute. It isn't just the culture. It is the way we were wired as humans. We have a survival brain, and it was designed millions of years ago, and it was designed so you could immediately find anything dangerous to survive. So you'd either fight it, or you'd freeze and hope it didn't notice you, or you'd run, you'd flight. Those are the three choices. Well, most people have not evolved very much from there. There's no saber-toothed tiger anymore, but we have that reaction of what does somebody write about us in social media, or do we have enough money, or something that isn't really survival. And so the negative bias, that's why in the news, you know, journalists are great people. The media, like when I say this, people say, no, they're not. Yes, they're good people. They're doing their job. Their job, the majority of them, is for the shareholder. The way you get the shareholder make more money is you get more eyeballs. We're not an information society. That died a long time ago. We're drowning in information. We're starving for wisdom. But what gets, if it bleeds, it leads. So they know that if I can get that headline, even if it's not the same as the article itself, right? What is clickbait? You click on it and I get paid. So that's the unfortunate part. Then you have social media that just everyone has an equal voice, even not everyone is equally qualified to talk about something, right? So the combination of those two has changed our society to such a negative bias. But that's true. That negative bias is in everyone. But that doesn't mean you have to live that way. It'd be natural to, you know, drop your drawers and go to the bathroom wherever you are. That's the way it's done in some countries. But, you know, we don't do what everybody else does. We culture ourselves. We raise the standard beyond just the fear-based of our brains, and we develop a different level of consciousness. So, yes, but most people come to me when they're hungry. You know, people come in to look at the demographics and they see every age, every background. You know, I just did a seminar for 1.1 million people for 4 days in 195 countries, all over the world simultaneously in every time zone. And it's every walk of life. But what they all have in common is hunger. So people come to me when they're the best at the world because they're looking for those little things. They know if I make this little change, just 10 degrees, but I take that at a week from now, a month from now, 6 months from now, I have a different destination, a different result, a different destiny. Other people come because they had a birthday with a zero on it, or they went through a divorce, or they lost their job, or they've been doing the same thing forever and they're great at it, but they're bored out of their mind. So there's a hunger to change. Without the hunger, most people are never going to interact with me. And then when they do, I do things in deep immersive. I don't do something for 30 minutes or an hour and try and pump somebody up. Even my books are ridiculous, you know, they're 500-600 pages, but people get pulled into them. And when I do seminars, they're 12 hours a day, 4 or 5 days in a row. These are people that wouldn't sit for a 3-hour movie someone spent $300 million on. But when you think about time, time is emotion. How long is a long time? When you're hating what you're doing, a minute's eternity. When you're loving what you do, time flies. And so I've learned how to engage people in a way where they enjoy themselves while they're transforming, instead of like it being a pain. And that's really why I've been able to do this. I'm entering my 47th year doing this. I can't believe I started when I was 3, of course, but you get the picture.
Well, I've gotten the picture. And here's, again, and we're going to move on to talking about finance and investing in just a moment. But like, I just kind of personalize this with you, Tony, and everyone I'm sure does, but like my own lens through which I come to appreciate what you have to say. First of all, I love what you had to say about information. Look, we're awash in information. And I actually think we are every intelligence in its truest sense is readily accessible all around us. That doesn't mean we make intelligent decisions, but what we are impoverished at is wisdom. And that's making sense of everything around us, both past, present, and future, and all of this information. And you, the wisdom that has, you know, I grew up here. You'll appreciate this. I grew up, I think, with one of your friends. He was somebody I spent every summer with. His children are my good friends, and we just partnered together on a fund to help raise money for the people that were devastated in Lahaina, Maui. But I grew up with Wayne Dyer, I know that you and Wayne knew each other. Well, and by the way, and I would say it to Wayne's face back then. I was like, "Oh, come on, manifest my destiny, Wayne." You know, yeah, I'm gonna, the power of positive thinking. You know, and he'd laugh, and he was a great guy. And
yes, he was a good father. But when you talk about habit,
and those, gosh, is it 9 kids?
Yes,
who are all really close to my family to this day. But you know, when you talk about habits, you talk about it, Tony, in a language that makes sense to me, like the habit of how I think about my day. You know, yes. I made one of my New Year's resolutions to get up every day and, you know, meditate and then reach out to someone, which, by the way, I'm not going to pretend like I'm super succeeding at all of this, but I need to build the habits. And there's something like functional and understandable about making this type of thinking a habit that has essentially compound interest in my life.
Yes. it builds. Well, you know, I give your viewers and listeners maybe a chance to consider it. Think about it this way. I'm pragmatic. By the way, I have very strong spiritual beliefs. I don't think there's a separation between those personally. Everything in the world is spiritual. God is a part of my life in every way. I feel I'm only here because I've been blessed. I started with absolutely nothing. I've done my part, but I could have done my part and not been so blessed. You know, I don't take that for granted ever. But from a pragmatic perspective, if the quality of our life is what we focus on, then I tell people there's three decisions you're making every moment. And your audience can ask themselves, is this happening right now? Every moment of your life, you're making three decisions. You're not necessarily making them consciously, though. And because of that, we make the same decisions over and over, and our life doesn't usually change. So the first decision is, what are you going to focus on? So at any moment, whatever you focus on, you're going to feel. If you make it to 7 p.m. to have dinner with your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or someone, and you get it at 7 and they're not there, I'll ask people, what are you feeling? And some people go, I'm angry. And some people say, I'm worried. And I go, it's only 7. You know, what if it's 7:30 and they're not there? Now I'm really angry. What if it's 8:30? They've not called. They've not texted, not showed up. I'm really angry. One woman said to me, I'm full. I didn't wait for the bastard. You know, so, but the difference between whether you're angry or pissed off or worried has nothing to do with life objectivity. It's what you did in your head. If they were late and you're in your head, they always do this. They don't care. They're probably screwing around with somebody else. You're angry. If you said in your head, oh my gosh, what if they were in a car accident? Now you're worried. So we think the world is controlled by the outside. It's really our decisions of what to focus on. And the second decision is, what does it mean? Is this the end or the beginning? If you think it's the end of a relationship, you're going to make a very different decision than if you think it's the beginning of a relationship, right? In the beginning, you'll do anything. In the end, it's like, I don't know, type of thing. And, you know, is this person disrespecting me? Are they challenging me? Are they coaching me? Are they loving me? Whatever meaning you come up with will radically change your emotions, and that controls the third decision, what am I going to do? But let me give you a pragmatic way they could use this right now. Here's a couple patterns of focus that control your life completely. One question I'll ask you, and your audience can answer it for themselves. Do you tend to focus more on what you have or what's missing, especially with COVID and so forth? Where have you focused more on what you have or what's missing? What would you say for you, Will?
For me, what's missing.
Yes. And that's true of most achievers. And so what's good about that is it gives you some drive. What's bad about that is you can never stay fully fulfilled, because when you're constantly focusing what's missing, you never get to fill up with that joy and have it last, because you're always the next thing. That's what puts people on the hamster wheel. And especially during COVID, it was really easy to go what's missing, because there seemed to be a lot missing. But if you can focus on a different habit, the habit of what I have first, that feeling of gratitude changes your biochemistry. This is science. It's not attitudes or just mindsets. And in fact, think about this. The two emotions that mess people up in their relationships and their business and their career are fear and anger. Well, when you're grateful, you can't be angry and grateful simultaneously. And you can't be fearful and grateful simultaneously. So I have a thing I do every morning for 10 minutes, which taps into that gratitude and puts me in that state every day. Another pattern, do you tend to focus on what you can or can't control? What would you say you do? We both do. We all do both, right? No, which one do you focus more on?
Well, I would say this is a big issue in my life. I am much more fulfilled when I have control, even if I fail at that control, than when I am out of control. So as far as my focus, it's probably on obtaining some measure of control, because the out of control focus is so unproductive for me. And I hate the way I feel. It's the source of most of my unhappiness.
Well, it's true for most people, because all the research shows the more you feel in control of the events of your life versus your events are controlling you, directly affects to your level of happiness and self-esteem. But the majority of people, and I think you'd be different in this area, most of the people that come see me, they come see me because they want to take control of their finances or their business or their relationship or their body or their energy or their happiness, right? So I tend to bring those people in. But think about this. If you're constantly focusing on what you can't control, what kind of stress are you going to have inside? And if you're adding to that, you're not, but people add to that, what's missing? And then here's the third one. Do you tend to focus more on the past? Everyone listening can try this. The present or the future? We all do all three. But where do you spend more of your time? Focused on the past, present, or future? What would it be for you?
I heard you do this with Theo, and he said the past. And I was riding along in this decision tree with him, and my answer is different. Mine is on the future. So, and you can add mine up there. Mine is focus on what I don't have, focus on the future, and focus on how I can obtain control.
and you just described the core of your personality in three areas of focus. And by the way, yours is very proactive. It's an achiever orientation. That's why you've achieved. Someone who's always focused on what they can't control. There's so much we can't control in our lives. You think you're in control. Your brain doesn't even control your bowels if you go to Mexico and eat the wrong food. I mean, let's be honest, right? You don't have full control in this life. We have influence. We can control our thoughts and our emotions if we learn how to, but most people haven't learned how to. But imagine somebody who is constantly focusing on what they can't control, what's missing, think COVID, and then the past. Well, you can't change the past. You put those three together and you have somebody that's going to be angry or depressed. So I get people all the time who are, you know, been on, I ask people in live audiences a lot of time. I have 10, 15, 20,000 people. How many of you know someone, I'll ask them, who takes antidepressants and they're still depressed? 90% of the room raises their hand. Well, why? Because when you take antidepressant, all it does is it numbs you. In fact, a year ago, well, 2022, the cover of Newsweek was showing SSRIs don't even work, but we're still selling them. But, you know, the good news is you can learn to change these.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tony Robbins. Check out his book, The Holy Grail of Investing, and subscribe to The Will Cain Show on YouTube, Apple, or Spotify. And you can catch us streaming live at 12 Eastern Time at FoxNews.com, the Fox News YouTube channel, and the Fox News Facebook page. I'll see you next time. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members who can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.